I want to encourage you to bring somebody to church with you next week. It's Easter Sunday. Ask a friend, family member, hey, come to church. You know, people are more apt to come on Easter than any other church service, believe it or not, when invited. Surveys have said. So Matthew chapter 21. Says here that, I want to read a bunch of these verses, about 11 verses. Now when they drew near Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied in a colt, and loose her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you will say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and they they brought the donkey and the colt. You got two animals here, right? I've gone over this before, but how many animals are we talking about here? Dos. Two animals, not just one. And they laid their clothes on them and set him on them. All right, now, the translation here is kind of odd. He's not like riding both of them at the same time, like at a horse show, you know, like one of these stunt donkey riders with. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Think of that. Which I always thought was odd. You ever see a Western when the guy's walking off a porch and there's a puddle? And the old Western movies, what did the guy do? Which I thought was really dumb because who is going to end up cleaning the jacket anyway? It's a dumb thing to do. I always thought that was really dumb. All right. clothes on the ground, I guess. And they cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the disciples went before him and who followed, crying out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? I mean, this was like a really crazy effect. Just the whole city. Big city, Jerusalem, huge. It says here, everybody knew something had happened. And then Jesus goes in the temple after this. Now, let me go back a little bit. And when they come into Jerusalem, the whole city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? Verse 11, so the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And just look at the next verse here. It says, then he went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned tables and money changers in the seats of those who sold doves. We see he comes in lowly and quietly on this animal, and then he gets off the animal and he goes into the temple. And immediately switches gears. We talked a little bit about anger this morning. And, you know, the control that Christ had over his expressions of pleasure and displeasure are fascinating. Many times he expressed displeasure with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, you know what the Sadducees were, right? They did not believe in the resurrection, which is why they were Sadducees. So, that's a good way to remember it. It's silly, but it's a good way to remember. Sad, you see. No resurrection. Then he expressed displeasure to them in no uncertain terms, calling them names. We should never call anyone names. Well, I don't think moron was part of what he said, but he did say other things. I'm just picking on in front of him. All right. So this is the hour. Jesus' hour had come. Remember he told his mother, my hour is not yet come? Well, it came. The hour came. And here he is. And there's this incredible set of ironies in here. Number one, the master has need. Imagine the irony that Christ had a need. And the need was for this animal. And those animals are fundamentally burden bearers. These aren't the kind of animals you'd use to charge into battle on. Right? He wasn't going into battle at this point, although he was. But they wanted him to. Israel was waiting for the Messiah to come and deliver them from Rome in a violent delivery. They wanted to be free of this taxation. They wanted to be free of the abuse. They wanted to be free of the oppression. And it was legitimate. They wanted that. But he wasn't going to give it to them. Not then. He will. That's coming to a city near you. But right for now, that's not what he's doing. He's coming in on a donkey. You know, a very familiar prophecy is in Zechariah 9, verse 9. And that's what it says. He's coming this way on a donkey. And, you know, most kings, when they come into a town, they come in with a horse and chariot, right? All decked out, big carriage, whatever the case may be. And Christ here, it says, is entering in verse 5, lowly. And the word in verse 5, the word for lowly also means gently. He's entering into Jerusalem gently. Now, I want to take a few minutes this morning and talk about this. The way we enter most situations says a lot about us. It says a lot about our control. It says a lot about what's happening in our life. How we enter into conversations, how we enter into confrontations, how we enter into correcting someone, how we enter into disagreement, for the most part, should be done with gentleness. And in doing that, we are setting the stage for something to happen, not necessarily in that situation, but in our own soul, which is God's target in all of our confrontations. The target for everything God does primarily is your soul. Do you realize that? It's not that he wants to change your situation. We've seen it happen all the time. A bad situation, you pray, it doesn't change. What changes? We change. Say it with me. We change. God didn't answer our prayer. Oh, he didn't? We change. We change. So you go into you're part of a new organization. You go in, you should go in gently. You go into a new position, new management position, go in gently. I remember when Menzo hired me to go work for him in Generations as the agency manager, I went in and he said to me at one point, he says, just let things go for a while because there's some chaos there. And he said, go in and build street credibility. He used to use the word street cred. In other words, he wanted me to go in there and prove myself before I try to assert myself. I'm going to understand what he would mean by that. So prove yourself before you assert yourself. And Jesus had done that over 3.5 years and was still entering Jerusalem gently. He had healed people. He had risen people from the dead. He had loved the unlovely. He had walked with the sinner as well as the saint. He'd walked with fishermen and tax collectors and zealots and Pharisees and had won many of them from those different walks of life to himself. And still, on entering Jerusalem, he comes in very gently. How do you enter most of your situations in your life? How do you do it? Galatians chapter 6 really reveals that even in a time where you are affected by something that someone else does, the call is for a burden bearer. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, to his surprise is implied there, and to your surprise, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, tempted to judge, tempted to be angry, tempted to express the wrong attitude. And it says here, right after that, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Jesus did not come in on a war horse to fight a battle. He came in on a burden bearer. He entered the situation on the back of a burden bearer. I want you to just think about that for a minute. Can Christ use you like one of those animals to enter into situations and bear burdens for people? And what do those burdens look like? Hey, maybe it's the burden of shame. Maybe it's the burden of guilt. Maybe it's the burden of, you know, name it. Maybe it's the burden of sickness. Maybe it's the burden of discontentment. But oftentimes it's the burden of embarrassment and the burden of sin and the burden of guilt and the burden of shame. And we're needed oftentimes to go into those situations and bear those kinds of burdens. And I want to say this to you, and I want you to listen to me carefully. I want everyone in the room to listen to me very carefully right now, because I'm about to say something that's very important to you. Most of you still assume you're going to grow in the Lord just by studying and praying and coming to church. God keeps placing you in opportunities that you have to learn to enter into gently. And if you don't learn to enter situations gently, you're not growing. You understand what I mean by that? It's about picking up your cross and following Christ. I don't care how much of the Bible you study. I hope you do, but I don't care if... I don't care how often you come to church if... I don't care what your vocabulary looks like if... I don't care how much you pray if... If you're not picking up your cross and following Him. And I'll tell you, one of the ways you learn to bear burdens is to be around a burden bearer. Every servant of God in the Bible that you look at, with very few exceptions, had somebody training them, had somebody to follow. And the ones that didn't, learn the hard way and then had somebody following them. Moses learned to follow God in meekness the hard way, 40 years on the backside of a desert. And then God gave him Joshua. And Joshua followed and learned from Moses. Paul, backside of an Arabian desert, 3 years again, learning face to face from Christ. And then Timothy, Titus, and others learned from Paul. Elijah had Elisha. And the list goes on. And so I'm going to encourage you, put yourself in a learning place. Put yourself in a place where you can follow burden bearers. And I'll tell you, some of the greatest burden bearers are the missionaries we support. And some of the great burden bearers that I know are right in this building, many of the leaders in our church who have learned to bear burdens. Don't be a lone ranger. Hear what I just said? Don't be a little, you're a little lone ranger. You know, you're going to do your own thing and go your own way. Don't do that. There's no place for that. It's not biblical. You're not going to grow. Put yourself around some burden bearers. What are we going to do? read the Bible together, you're going to bear some burdens together. Now, I could tell you some stories. I'll tell you three. The first one was I was on my own, and I was my own little Lone Ranger, and I didn't want to be discipled or take Bible college classes or whatever. And finally, when my church needed a burden bearer, I was nowhere to be found. When my church needed a burden bearer, you know what I did? I moved out of town. I made a run for it. My church, my pastor failed miserably. And with several women, come to find out it was 9 total. Where was I? Leaving town. Who came after me? A burden bearer. Dr. Lewis. He's the one who said, no, don't run. Come with me, we'll go on a trip together. Come to Puerto Rico with me. That trip changed the direction of my life. I would not be in this pulpit today if it wasn't for that man. But he was a burden bearer. You know what he did the whole time we were in Puerto Rico? He listened to me cry. He told the corniest, stupidest jokes you've ever heard in your life. And he bore my burden. He bore the whole thing. And then he came back. And when we got back, he came back up to Rome and visited our church and helped me mend relationships and showed me how to follow my pastor the way I was supposed to. The burden bearer. That's a burden bearer. Another simple example was, and I told you this, I was getting ready to study for my ordination. And I was overwhelmed and discouraged, and I thought I was too dumb to do it, and I couldn't remember any of the Bible verses, and I was trying to study, and I was stressing out. And I went out in the parking lot one afternoon, and my friend Debbie saw me in the parking lot, and she said, "What is wrong with you?" Apparently my countenance was fallen. And she said, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "I don't know." So I'm trying to study for this ordination. I got the business thing going on. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I said, "I don't know what's going on." She said, "Are you enjoying Jesus right now?" I said, "What?" She said, "When was the last time you just stopped and enjoyed Jesus?" And we sat and talked about that for a couple minutes. And then I don't know how I passed that ordination test, but I did. That was a burden bearer. She saw the burden and said something creative and helpful to bear that burden. And then I can't tell you one story, but I could tell you 1,000 stories of my favorite burden bearer of all, the one who's borne the burden of my confusion, the one who's borne the burden of my dumb decisions, the one who's borne the burden of my financial mishaps, the one who's borne the burden of my negativity at times, and she's never left my side. That right there is life's greatest burden bearer for me, my favorite burden bearer. I hope you're a burden bearer for your spouse. I hope you're a burden bearer for your friends. I hope you learn how to bear one another's burdens. When someone's sick, I hope you pick up the phone and call them. When someone's afraid, I hope you go see them. When somebody needs you, I hope you're there. I hope you're available. I hope you reach out to people more than you're reached out to. I hate when I get in this mindset, nobody calling me, why can't I call anybody? We've all been there. I hate it. I remember somebody saying to me one time, they told me they were lonely. I said, why are you lonely? Nobody ever calls me. Everyone calls everyone else. I was like, okay, what a perception that is, that everyone is calling everyone else. And I wanted to say to this person, I said, to be honest with you, I don't think many people are calling anybody. But I know there's a verse in the Bible that says this. he who would have friends would show themselves to be friendly. You be the one who picks up the phone and calls people that you want to call you. You know, I'll tell you, many years, I can't tell you how many times, Karen knows, the phone rings in the house. Who would it be? Every other week, Karen. Dr. Lewis, for 30 years. That's a burden bearer. And he didn't know if anything was going on or not. He'd just call. What are you doing? Oh, I don't know. I'm just hanging out. What are you doing? Having a rough day? Sometimes he'd share he was having a rough day. Especially after his wife passed. He had a lot of rough days after his wife passed. So you know what happened after his wife passed? I'd call him. And I'd give him Archie Bunker. He'd pick up the phone and say, oh, geez, over there, what are you doing? And I'd get him laughing. Burden bearing, see? All I was doing, you know, when you cast your bread on the water, the Bible says, cast your bread on the water, and many days later it'll return to you. You're going to get what you invest back from people. You know, I remember Charlie Jones said, one of his messages, somebody walked up and said, I cast my bread on the water, all I get is soggy bread. You must not be paying attention to the people around you. But every week or two, I'd get a phone call, and it was him. And if I didn't answer the phone, he'd text me. And if I didn't answer his text, he'd call me again. Because he knew. I have the tendency to stick my head in the ground. I tend to hide. You know what we need to do? We need to bear one another's burdens. Right? Reaching out to one another. I know you know that people are going through things. I know that you could look around this room and you could spot probably four people you know something's going on in their life. And you know what it is? Because they've told you. Will you call them, please? Will you write them a note? Will you drop off a cinnamon bun? Do anything. Do something. By the way, sometimes the only way to solve life's problems is with a cinnamon bun and a coffee. This is something I've learned. I mean, there's no other way. But sometimes that's all people really need. Maybe they need more than that, but in the moment, you become a little relief, you know. You're not going to solve everybody's problems. That's not what I'm suggesting. That's not what a burden bearer does. A burden bearer doesn't come over and try to fix everything you're dealing with. A burden bearer is just there, and you know they're there, and the burden bearer is the one that they can just sit on and ride for a while. Maybe you can get someone to the next stage in their life by giving them a ride, by bearing them on your back, by helping them along. That's what I get from the Palm Sunday message, and that's what I got last night. I just want to encourage you to do more burden bearing. Share your burdens with people, sure. The Bible even says, cast your burden unto Jesus, for he cares for you. But sometimes people carry their burden a little too long, you know? And we wonder why they're not involved. You know, I had somebody tell me the other a while back, they said, yeah, you know, he said, this person's, you know, having a rough time. He said, he's not doing anything in the church. And the guy's walking around like this. Well, why isn't that guy who's walking around like that doing anything in a church? You know, why is he not doing anything in the church? I wonder why he's not doing anything in the church. He just, you know why? Because he's bearing all these burdens. He's bearing too many burdens by himself. The world is loaded with people who are just constantly burdened. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And those two words, labor, is means that you've created your own set of burdens, your own set of circumstances, your own set of consequences. heavy laden is when somebody's poured them out on you, put their burden on you. Sometimes you run into these dear people who have had divorces, and you see what this other party has put on them, the burden that they've put on them. And it is awful. Sometimes it's abuse. Sometimes it's just unkindness. Sometimes it's terrible things that they just place on people. And here they come to us and they're around us, and you wonder, why is that person acting so strange? Why is that person like this? They're carrying burdens. Find out what burden they're bearing. And I love this verse in Galatians. I'll close with this. If a person's overtaken in a trespass, you go restore them in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself lest you fall. How am I going to do that? By finding out in verse 2 the burden that caused them to fall in the first place. You know, rather than, let's say Mike over here does something really dumb, which would never happen, I'm sure. Mike does something dumb, and I walk over to Mike, and rather than say, that was a really dumb thing you did, don't do it again, stop doing dumb things. How helpful is that, really?
Unhelpful.
You're out of time. But if I walk up to Mike, I say, what's going on? And he tells me, physical pain, maybe financial difficulty. Maybe it's, problems with his kids. I don't know what the problem is until I ask. Then I find out what the burden is. Maybe he acted, did something stupid because it was a big burden in his life that he didn't have any help with. That makes sense? Find out what the burden is. Some people, they don't want help with the burden. They're going to carry that burden, and they're, you try to help them several times and they don't, and they keep doing things. And sometimes those are pretty bad things they do. And sometimes you even have to stop fellowshipping with them. But that's a small percentage of the time. I tell you, I find most of the time, if we are slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to what? Huh? Listen. Slow to speak. Slow to anger, quick to, right? Ben Franklin said, you should listen as twice as much as you speak, which is why God gave you two ears and only one mouth. Do more listening than speaking. Seek to understand more than to be understood. We want people to understand us. This is why. How about you listen and seek to understand more than to be understood? That is the essence of burden bearing. That's the essence of burden bearing. Now, let me just say this. You blew it. Now, let's say you blew it royally. I mean, you blew it, you're embarrassed, you were dumb, you were silly, so on and so forth. Here's the good news. Did you confess your sin? Is God faithful and just to forgive you? Then forget it and move on. Learn from the mistake and move on. You don't have a right to sit there and pout. So don't be pouting about your failures and pouting about your mistakes. Don't do that. Stop doing that. You're burdening yourself. Why are you burdening yourself with something Jesus died and took away? So why don't we learn, though? Learn. I have a good friend of mine, was in the military, bore a burden for years that pastors laid on him, saying he was a murderer for being in the military. Now, let me just say this. How many of you actually believe that people who are in the military who happen to kill somebody are murderers? Look around the room. Nobody. You know why? Because they're not. Thou shalt not kill has nothing to do with warfare. Nothing. Zero. It's the same thing. If you came into my house and made a move on my wife to kill her and I killed you, am I a murderer? Hello? Hello? No. Why? Special circumstances. What am I going to do? Oh, thou shalt not kill. Have at it. That makes zero sense in any other thing. But people who are self-righteous and don't understand the Bible are going to say that the military folks, number one, they don't know their Bibles. God instructed Israel several times to kill their enemies. God instructed Israel several times to seek revenge when their people were killed by other nations. I'd take up arms again if I wasn't so slow and fat and old and out of shape. Many of you would do the same thing if you weren't so old, fat, slow, and out of shape. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for those that are defending our country and bear their burden. We're going to pray for the local police departments and bear their burdens. How many of you see these videos where the police officer walks up to the window and the guy in the car starts harassing him and abusing him and swearing at him? Have you seen any of those? Well, good. You shouldn't be on there anyway. But every now and then you see him, and these poor cops walk up to the window and say, "Can I have your license and registration?" "No." "Well, where are you going?" "I don't have to tell you. I know my rights." "Oh, really? You do? Okay." And everyone that I've seen, the officers are kind. They have a nice day, sir. I need to see it. I'll take your registration off the car. Wait right here. Come back. Sometimes they don't even give him a ticket, and this guy's been swearing at him the whole time. How about you bear? Now, imagine that's your life, and you every time you walk up to a vehicle as a police officer, you risk your life. By the way, cops get shot walking up to vehicles now in small towns. My buddy Bobby said on an average night in Springfield, how many domestic disputes would he go to? Paul, you were there. Do you remember what he said? Gary, how many did he say? 10 or 20 a night in the city. Domestic disputes, 10 or 20 a night. And every one of them were life-threatening. Every one of them. One of them, he had someone come to the door bleeding from stab wounds. They had to go in and find the person who had the knife in the building. See? Can we bear our police officers' burdens? How do we bear their burdens? How about once in a while the church buys a pizza and sends it over to the police department? You know, Harry made a great suggestion, which I did a couple years ago when I moved into my office in Virginia Street. I bought a plate of cookies and I brought them over to the police department and I just said, "Here's my hours. If you want, I can leave you guys a key to get in." And I met the police. Now, you know what? Every time one of them sees me, they wave. They beep the horn. Some of them will stop. They remember. And some of them weren't even there when I got the cookies there, but they found out that I brought them cookies. Now, I didn't do it for that reason. I did it because these people are serving our communities and oftentimes risking their lives. And if you don't think the local cops risk their lives every day, then you don't understand what police work is. Because if one of them a year passes away from somebody in another community somewhere, then that means every one of them are risking their lives every day. Because the potential is terrible for any one of them. Why can't we bear their burdens? Why can't we bear our, some of you won't like this, we have political leaders in our area. Why can't we bear their burdens too? Why can't we pray for them and bear their burdens? Why can't we pray for the veterans in our area? You know why I'm the commander or why I'm involved at the Seneca Falls American Legion? Because I want to bear burdens. And a lot of those men and women are burdened. And they act like they're burdened. Some of them act grumpy and awful. But you know what? It's because they're burdened. Mike and I are on a team there, and don't they? They act a little burdened. And sometimes they want to throw their burden on you instead of you taking it voluntarily. So being a burden bearer isn't an easy thing. It's not always fun. But that's what we're called to do. Is anyone ever going to listen to us share the gospel with them if we're not willing to bear a burden for them? I don't think so. And I think that's the mistake that evangelical Christianity has made in the last 15, 20 years. We want to tell the woman who's bearing an unborn child, "You're wicked if you get a divorce, you get an abortion, that's murder," but we're not willing to help them bear the burden. Before or after? Can we bear it before and offer help with you keeping this child? Or maybe afterwards when they've had the abortion, can we help you get through the guilt and the shame of what happened? We ought to be available on both ends of the burden. I could give a number of other examples, but I think suffice it to say, you know the burdens. How about the burden of healthcare proxies? How about the burden borne by people taking care of an elderly parent? How about the burden borne by a mom who has a Down syndrome child? or a child with MS? How about those burdens? How about finding those people? I think this coming year, our strategy, in addition to the events we're doing, is to find ways to bear people's burdens. And even if it's a small thing, like bringing someone a plate of cookies or a cinnamon bun, or it's a bigger thing like helping somebody move who needs help moving, we can bear people's burdens. And that's the role that Jesus demonstrated for us when he went into Jerusalem on that colt. That he wasn't there to fight a battle. He was there to bear burdens. And he went all the way to the cross of Calvary. All the way to the cross of Calvary on a Wednesday. Not a Friday, on a Wednesday. And bore the burden of our sin at Calvary's cross. All of it. For every single person who's ever lived. And he's on that cross, and the Father says to him, "Will you bear Larry's sins? Yes. Will you bear Jason's sins? Yes. Will you bear Mike's sins? Yes. Will you bear Kathy's sins? Yes. Will you bear Tucker's sins? Yes. Will you bear Rebecca's sins? Yes." Every one of us, if he had to say yes to everyone, he would have said yes to everyone. Because I know him. He knows every one of them. He knows every one of your sins, and he knows you intimately. I bet you every single one, in a snap instant, he said yes to every single one of us. To bear our burden. Father, we ask you to help us to spot burdens. Sometimes we're so burdened ourselves, we can't see what anyone else is burdened with. Usually it's just because we're being selfish and we're pouting. So Father, help us not to do that. Help us to lift up our eyes on a field that's white and ready to harvest, a field that has ripe fruit in it, a field that has ripe wheat, ready to be harvested. And many times it doesn't look like it's ripe. It looks like it's a burdened person who's angry, or a burdened person who's distraught, or a burdened person who's acting strange. But God, it's white fruit. It's a person who needs to have their burdens borne. So God, help us to spot those better than we do. Help us to do that for one another. As we look around the room and we see people with burdens, young people, the burden of college decisions, young couples with the burden of getting to know one another, elderly people with the burden of burdens, their bodies, you know, all of us, Father. So I pray you'd help us to spot burdens and to bear them better. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our hero. Amen.